Perek Yud Zayin. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. Last week we discussed the story. We're still in the middle of the story of the burial and Hespedim of Shaul HaMelech. So last week we discussed how the courageous people of Yavesh Gilad, which we said Yavesh Gilad is on the other side of the Jordan, the courageous people of Yavesh Gilad made a daring mission to go get the body of Shaul HaMelech to give him a proper burial. And we said that Hashem said that in the zchus that you went in your Moisar Nefesh to get the body of Shaul to give him a proper burial. So in the future, when Hashem is going to bring back all of Klal Yisrael, when Mashiach comes from all the four corners of the world, so Hashem says, I'm going to first bring the people of Gilad, of Yavesh Gilad, the people of Shevet Menasheh who lived on the other side of the Jordan, and then Menasheh, and then Yehuda, and then Ephraim, and Yehuda, etc. And it brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Li Gilad v'li Menasheh Ephraim ma'iz reishi Yehuda mechaykiki." That's the pshat. That's the drush of the Medrash over here. So now we're going to say another drush on that pasuk, and then we're going to continue the story of Shaul HaMelech. In some versions of Pirkei Avos it says Davar Acher, in some versions it doesn't say it. Davar Acher. Li Gilad, what does it mean when it says Li Gilad? Just one more introduction. The second way of darshaning this pasuk that we're going to see over here in the Medrash has to do with three kings and four non-kings that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin. One of the most famous Mishnayos, it says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek oil mahabo shenemar ve'amech kulam tzadikim neitzim atoy masi yodei lehispar." That every Jew has a chelek in oil mahabo. And then the Mishnah continues and says, "Ve'ele she'en lam chelek oil mahabo." These are the people that don't have a chelek oil mahabo. Give lochem ve'arba hadyotus. Three kings and four regular people. Who are the three kings? Yerovam ben Nevat, Achav and Menasheh. And the four regular people are Doeg HaDoimi, Achitofel, Gehazi and Bilam. Doeg HaDoimi said Lashon Hara about Dovin HaMelech. Achitofel gave Avshalom the advice that he should rebel against Dovin HaMelech. Gehazi was Elisha's assistant, who sort of had a chutzpah that he asked Naaman to give a donation after Elisha was able to cure him from Tzaras. And Bilam, we know from last week's parsha, that Bilam cursed Bnei Yisrael. And the three kings basically were kings of over the Jews that were Avdei Aveda Zara. Okay, so the Mishnah says that these seven people don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara brings, and other Midrashim bring, an opinion that says that no, they actually do have a chelek in Olam Haba. At least six out of these seven. We can say all six of them except for Bilam. Bilam, everyone agrees, doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. But the three kings and the three hadyotis, they we're going to say they do have a chelek in Olam Haba, and we're going to learn it from this pasuk over here. This pasuk that we're discussing. Li Gilad, to me is Gilad. Hashem is saying, to me is Gilad. Who's Gilad? Ze Achav, Shemes Beromes Gilad. Let's talk about Achav, who died in battle in Ramez Gilad. There was a war between Yisrael and Aram, and we spoke about in the last parak that Naaman accidentally shot out his bow and arrow, and that ended up killing Achav, and that was how Achav got killed. Basically, he got injured, and then he died afterwards. V'li Menasheh, and to me is Menasheh, k'mashmoy, like mashmoyis of the word Menasheh, which is a name of one of the kings of Yehuda, the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Ephraim ma'oyiz reishi. Ephraim is the strength of is the first of my strength. Ze Yerovam ben Nevat. Let's talk about Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat was the first king of Malchi Yisrael. So he's ma'oyiz reishi. He's the head of the powerful ones. Ma'oyiz reishi. He was the first king of Malchi Yisrael, and he was from Shevet Ephraim. We'll speak more Be'ezus Hashem about Yerovam ben Nevat in a few moments. Yehuda mechaykiki, Yehuda, the one who is mechaykik, the one who makes the laws. Zachi Teufel, let's talk about Achi Teufel, who was originally an advisor to David HaMelech, and then he sort of turned on him and gave bad etzas to Avshalom that he should rebel. Moyav sir rachzi, the pasuk says, Moyav, the pot of my cleaning, of my bath, Zeh Gehazi, that's talking about Gehazi, because what happened was that Elisha told Naaman, who was the general of Aram, Elisha told Naaman that he should go to the Yarden as a mikvah, and that's how he could get cured of his saras. So the Indian of, and then afterwards, Gehazi, who was Elisha's assistant, asked Naaman to give him a donation. He wanted to make some money off of the miracle. So Gehazi, his avera had to do with rechitza. So we're dashing this pasuk of Moyer Tzirachzi that has to do with rechitza on Gehazi. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, upon Edom I will send my shoe, Zedoyeg HaEdomi. That's talking about Doyeg HaEdomi, who Pashat Pshat means that he's from Edom. So all these people, the pasuk says, Alai Peleshes his royai, upon me Peleshes is like moving around and complaining. In the way they dash in the pasuk is Peleshes is a reference to David HaMelech, that David HaMelech destroyed or killed a lot of the Plishtim, so he's called Peleshes. It's interesting that he's called after the people that he killed. But David HaMelech had tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you let these people into Olam Haba? You know, they did bad things against Kal Yisrael and against you. How could you do that? So on all of this, David HaMelech is his royai, he's having tainas, like tarumais. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Olai lefalesh aleihem zuchus, v'laseisim reim eilu leilu. Upon me it is incumbent to find zechus of merits for them, and then I'm going to make all of them friends together. Make David and Malach and Yerovam ben Nevat and Menashe. All these people are going to be like friends, meaning they're all going to go to Olam Haba together. Even though the Mishnah says all these people don't have a chelik Olam Haba, so this Medrash and it's an opinion that's also brought in the Gemara holds that they do have a chelik Olam Haba, even despite the horrible affairs that they did. Fine. Now we're going to continue the story of Shaul Malach. Rabbi Pinchas Oimer. Rabbi Pinchas says, Le'achar shana shenayarag Shaul uvono. A year after Shaul and his sons were killed. Now, the Mefarshim say that in other places, in the Yakut and Rashi and Yavamis, say that this didn't happen a year after Shaul was killed, but it happened 30 years after he was killed. Because if you look in the Psukim, the story that we're going to talk about now is actually written after the story of Avshalom's rebellion. And Avshalom's rebellion happened towards the end of David HaMelech's life, so it makes more sense that this happened towards the end of David HaMelech's life, not towards the beginning of his reign, right after Shaul died. So it's not supposed to say that after a year, but after 30 years. That's what the Radal says this, the Marzu says this, Seder Darius also brings this down, that it should really say 30 years after. What happened 30 years after Shaul died? Ba'al Ra'av Shalish Shanim be made David. There was a famine for 3 years in the times of David Melech. Shana after shana, year after year. The Bais HaGadol says that we're going to darshan year after year, that each year there was a different akuda that they were thinking about. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi ra'av bimei David shalish shanim. There was a famine in the times of David for 3 years. So what are they going to do about this famine? B'shana Rishana, in the first year, Olal Yisrael Regel, Bnei Yisrael came up to the Regel, came to the Beis HaMikdash, and David HaMelech, you know, gave his annual speech or whatever. David said to them, "Tzu uru'u shema yeish b'chem b'nei adam oiv de'avay nazar." Go out and check. Maybe there's people from amongst you who are worshippers of idolatry. Because of the vera of avay nazar, that's what causes rain to stop. So you know, we have this famine, we want to deal with it. Let's make sure that there's no avay nazar, and then that'll clear it up. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, etc. It says, in the end of the pasuk, it says, the heavens are going to close up and there's not going to be rain. So, David HaMelech said, check it out. Yotzu, what's the Indian of Avodah Zarah and rain? So, the Bais HaGadol explains that all the things that we're going to talk about are Mila Keneged Mida. The Gemara says in Tainus, one of the three keys, the mafteches, which are given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the mafteach of rain. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has complete control over rain. So when a person is Ovid Avodah Zarah, they're denying the complete control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem is not going to use the thing that He has complete control over, the rain, and He's not going to give it to them. Okay. Yotzu, they went to check. Yotzu, they went out with Ubadko and they checked. V'lemotzu, and they didn't find any people who were Nichshal Avodah Zarah. Bishana Shnia, in the second year, Olal Yisrael Regel, they went up to the Regel for Yontif, Amr Lahem David, Talmud Melech said to them, Tzuru, Shemi Yesh Bechem Megal Arayas. We have, okay, there is no Avodah Zarah, but we still have a famine, so we have to check out a different thing. Go and check, maybe there is, from amongst you, people who are Megal Arayas, people who are misbehaving in terms of immorality. Shabba Avoyin Gilei Arayas HaGesham HaNetzarim. Because of the Avera of Gilei Arayas, the rains stop. Shnemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'tachnifi Eretz Biznusayich Uvrosayich. The land becomes flattered Biznusayich, for the Znus. Ba'is HaGadol explains that the Midah Keneged Midah is sort of that, why is a person going to do Averas of Arayas, or whatever? The Pshat is because when a person is satisfied, and he's bored, and he has nothing else to do, so then he starts being Isaac and these type of things. But if a person is busy, you know, so then he's not going to be Isaac in it. So when Hashem gives rain and Parnassa is good and easy or whatever, so then people have more time on their hands and they start doing other things because they're satisfied and whatever. But if they don't have time on their hands and they're trying to work and they don't have food and they're busy trying to get together whatever they can, so then they don't have time to do this type of affairs.
But on the contrary, if you have more time, you're learning more Torah.
Oh. That's true, but they weren't taking advantage of that, right? Another pshat, I was thinking of a slightly different pshat, that the Indian of Arayas, this is maybe more Remez or Kabbalah, the Indian of Arayas is that a person is giving hashpa to the wrong place. A person is supposed to be mashpia in such a fashion, and instead he's doing it to a person that he's not supposed to give hashpa to. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you give hashpa to the wrong place, so I'm not going to give you my hashpa. So the rain, what we spoke about in like Perek Hey, I think it was, the rain is a hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. So he's saying, I'm not going to give you that special hashpa. Is the door broken? Oh, that's good. So that's the Indian, that's why because of the Ver of Arayas, that's why the rain would stop. Yotsu, Obadku, Vuloimatsu, they went out, they checked, and they didn't find people who were, Maksiv Sham was the same. That possibly we might have revolved him. Malkush Lehaya, fine. And the revolving the sprouts stopped. And Malkush Lehaya, there was no rain. When it's talking about when the land was flooded, Biznusay, fine. But Kuvle Matzu, they went out and they checked that nobody was over of Gilei Arayas. Bishana Shlishis, in the third year, Oli Yisrael Regel, Bnei Yisrael came up to the Regel, to the Yontav again, Omelahem David Melech said, Tzu'uru, Shem Yesh Bechem Sheifchei Damim. Maybe there's people who are murderers within you. And Sheba Avoyin, Shechaz Damim HaGishom Netzarim. And because of the Avera of murder, that's why the rains stop. Shneamar, because it says the Pasuk, Fulei Sachanifu Wasu Oretz. That's the Pasuk, in next week's Pasha, I think it is, right? It says that you're not allowed to take Koifer for a Ritzach. Meaning, if a guy kills, instead of going to Galus, so maybe he'll say, oh, if he gives some money, he doesn't have to go to Galus. No! We don't take Kaifer. You're going to flatter the land. You're going to make it that, like, if people have a little bit more money, then they can do whatever they want. We don't want such a matzav. But the point is that when people are murdering, it's called flattering the land. And we said by flattering the land, that there's no rain and there's not going to be any sprouts. So they went and checked if there were any murderers. Ah, I meant to bring cookies that I wanted to bring. I forgot to bring them. Shkoyach.
Thank you for giving me the
meat. Maybe next week I'll bring it. If I remember. But hopefully not. So they went to check if there's any murderers, and they didn't find that there were murderers. Other midrashim. Amen. Other midrashim say in Yevamos, it says another thing that they went to check if there were piskit stakel b'rabim vein naisim. People who pledged to give tzedakah in public and then they didn't give it. You know, they said they got up in shul or whatever. They said, you know, I'm going to give $1,000 to the shul, and they never gave it. Or people that didn't give chumas and maizrus. We mentioned in the end of Perek Yud Dalet, we mentioned that there's a Mishnah in Ovis that says, let's see if I wrote down the lashon of the Mishnah. In Ovis, the end of Misachas Ovis, the Mishnah says, Ba'al Rav Bala Ilam al Bitul Chumas and maizrus. Famine comes to the world because of bittul chumas and maizrus. So the manager says that maybe there was, David Mel said, maybe people aren't taking off chumas and maizrus properly, and they found that wasn't the issue.
Which year did David say that, the first, second, or third, chumas and maizrus?
I'm not sure. I don't remember if all the sources say it like this, that it was like different years and they went through different things.
Maybe it's one year different, golden, Pesach, Shuvah, Sukkot.
It could be. It was all in 1 year. Each one was in here, and all of them are true. The Radal says that these type of things, you don't need to go out and check to see if people are over it. If people don't give money that they give, everyone's going to know because we're expecting the money and we didn't see the money. Or Trumas and Maestros, if people don't give Trumas and Maestros, so the Kain and Levi are like, where's my food?
This is at the beginning of the Malchus of Dovid or at the end of the Malchus of Dovid? According to the Pesukim, put it at the end of Sefer Shmuel.
Right.
I think some people say it was at the beginning of this Malchus.
It could, I mean, the Pasha Pshat in Pirkei Avos is that it was a year after Shaul was killed. When Yevamos, Rashi says it was 30 years into David Malch's reign, which is towards the end of his Malch. So the Seder Deres brings that there's two opinions on when exactly the story happened.
Chalukei
Deis. Chalukei Deis, yeah. Okay, so what is the problem, Mai? So what are they supposed to do? Oh, the Pshat in Midah Keneged Midah of murderers to not having rain is because, you know, you killed somebody else, so Hashem's gonna say, okay, well, I'm not gonna make sure that you live either. So there's no rain, there's no food. What? So what did happen? What was the affair? Why did they have a famine? Amar lam David. So David and Al said, Mikan ve'elach en a David tole elabi. From here on, the matter is only dependent on me. Or the Kafta v'Ferech brings in the Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Zayin, sorry. The Kafta v'Ferech brings this Perek Diblis as a slightly different gersa. Says Mikan ve'elach en a davar toli ki im betfila. From here on in, the matter is only dependent on davening. Miad Amad David lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu v'hispala. David Melech stood in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu and he davened. He prayed to Hashem, and he wanted to know what can I fix to make it that this famine will stop. V'omer loy al Shaul. Kodesh Baruch Hu said back to him, because of Shaul. That was the answer. The answer was because of Shaul. Now, the next like three lines over here in Pirkei D'Eliezer are like, the mamish don't make any sense. Not mamish, but like, if you read it, it's like very difficult. So we're going to read it and sort of translate it literally and then point out that it doesn't really make sense. And then I'll tell you what other sources which bring down the same medrash the way they have it, and we can read it a lot easier and understand exactly what's happening. Amar David Rebbeinu Shalom. David said, Master of the Universe, Eini Shaul, I'm not Shaul. Shebiyamai lo nesasal v'edazara b'Yisrael. Because in my years, in my lifetime, under my reign, there was no v'edazara in B'nai Yisrael. V'eini Shaul shirimshach b'shem b'nai Mishkan. And I'm not Shaul who was anointed with the oil of anointment. Eini Shaul shocholak im Shmuel Navi. And I'm not Shaul who, it seems, argued on Shmuel Navi. So what happened of it? It's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what these things are talking about. And as the Mufarshim speak out, it's a mistake over here. And really, it's supposed to read it like this. Take out the words, Amar David Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a continuation of what Hashem is talking to David about. Right. So this is what it's supposed to say, really. The Radal speaks this up. No, so we don't see either way, but in the time of David Melech, whether there was a Vedazar or not. But what we do see for sure is that in the time of Shaul, there wasn't. Yeah, but he had to go out and search for it because they were all gone. But it sounds like this. This is the way the Radal says it from Bamidbar Rabbah and then the Yalkut Shemanya. It says, Hashem said, Al Shaul, because of Shaul, and that Hashem is asking David Melech. Is he not Shaul HaMelech who was anointed with the Shem and HaMishra? Meaning that Shaul HaMelech, I, Hashem, personally decided that he should be king. And is he not Shaul HaMelech that in his days there was no Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael? The Pesukim said that Shaul HaMelech destroyed all of Avodah Zarahs that existed in Bnei Yisrael, and later on when Shaul HaMelech himself wanted to go to Avin Yedeni, he had a little bit of difficulty trying to find the lady who could do that. Right. Ve'enu Shaul shechelkoi im Shmuel HaNavi. Is he not Shaul HaMelech whose chelek is with Shmuel HaNavi? Meaning, who we're going to say later on in Pirkei D'Eblezer and Perek Lamed Gimel, that Shaul HaMelech is in the same chelek in Olam Haba as Shmuel HaNavi. They're on the same targah. Kilu. Shmuel Avi and Shaul HaMelech are like on the same targa. So Shaul is on the same target, Shmuel Levi. And so what's the problem? The problem is, v'ata ba'aretz v'hu b'chutz la'aretz. You're in Eretz Yisrael, and Shaul Malach is in Chutz La'aretz. Because what do we say? We said that the people of Yavish Gilad, who lived across the Yarden, they were the ones who took back the body of Shaul Malach, and they buried it over there, on the other side of the Jordan. Apparently, on the other side of the Jordan is considered Chutz La'aretz in regard to burial. And so Hashem is telling David Malach, Azah Chutzpah, Shaul Malach is such a chashuv person. That you know he was personally chosen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He got eradicated the Avodah Zarah, etc. He is like Shmuel Navi and Olam Haba. He's such a chashuv person, and he's buried in Chutz La'aretz, and you're sitting here in your palace in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't feel anything for that. That's why there was a famine. That's what Hashem is saying. Ata ba'aretz v'hu b'chutz la'aretz. Nice in the Gemara on Yevamos. The Gemara says three things. The Gemara says, first of all, the fact that Shaul HaMelech killed out the city of Nov, and the people, there's a people called the Givonim, who were sort of, they supported the city of, they were the suppliers for the city of Nov. And because, what?
They were supplying wood.
They were supplying wood and water, whatever. Yeah. And because the city of Nov was basically killed out, so these guys didn't have any parnasa. Because they're chopping wood, but who are they chopping wood for? Or they draw water, but who are they drawing water for? The whole city was killed, the city of Kahana was killed out by Shaul. So these people had tainas on David HaMelech. So one of the reasons, so Gemara says, on Shaul HaMelech, but also on David HaMelech. Because it was sort of David's fault why Shaul killed out the whole city. It's so complicated exactly why it's David HaMelech's problem. But they had a hakpada on David HaMelech. I'll tell you exactly what their hakpada was in a moment, but they had a hakpada on David HaMelech, and so one of the reasons why Hashem brought the famine was because the Givonim had a hakpada on David HaMelech. So the Gemara says a whole story that Hashem told David HaMelech that was one of the problems. So he went to the Givonim and speak to the Givonim like, what can we do? So the Givonim said, look, this is what we want from you. Shaul HaMelech killed the city of Nov. We want you to give us 7 of Shaul HaMelech's descendants, and we're going to kill them, and then we'll be happy. That's what they said. And David HaMelech said, Azah chutzpah, that's what you want, to be happy? You want to kill as revenge these 7 descendants of Shaul HaMelech? And the Gemara says, this is the real discussion of the Gemara. And the Gemara says that there's 3 simanim of a Jew: Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Goyim Lechasadim. And we see that these Givonim are not Rachman and Baishanim and Gavli Chasadim from this story. And that's why David HaMelech made a gzera that you're not allowed to marry Givonim. So if you ever seen Shas, you know, Mamzer V'Nosen, Nosen is a name for these Givonim. It was a gzera that David HaMelech said that you're not allowed to marry these people. And they kicked them out of Klal Yisrael, and that was the way of fixing up the situation. But that was, so they had a time on, so that was a time on David HaMelech. Their time on David HaMelech was that he didn't do revenge to the descendants of Shaul. And we said that's a chutzpah de katayna, but Hashem still made a famine because they had some sort of hakpada. But once we fixed the problem, then you know that issue was fixed. The other thing that the Gemara says was that they didn't do a hesped on Shaul HaMelech Karoy. They didn't give a proper eulogy when Shaul HaMelech died. So here, because Shaul HaMelech is buried in Chutz La'aretz and David is staying in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says another thing, that Shaul HaMelech didn't have proper eulogy when he died. So Hashem had a hakpada on that because Shaul HaMelech was such a chashuv person, and they didn't properly eulogize him. So Maisa, it's interesting that if you look in the Pesukim, you don't really see that. If you look in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. If you look in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, what is this page? The last 11 psukim of Shmuel Aleph are, no, where is it? Yeah, the last 11 psukim of the first parak of Shmuel Beis. I'm sorry, Shmuel Beis, the first parak. The last 11 psukim of the parak are all about how they said all kinds of eulogies and lamentations over the death of Shaul HaMelech. So you see the pesukim that Vayikainim David Esakina Hazoyis Al Shaul Valyaynus and Benoi, and they said Vayomer Lilamed Bnei Yerukoshes That was the refrain of the thing. It says, "Sham naflu niga magen giborim magen shol." All these different things, and in the end of a few pesukim later, it says that Bnei Yisrael were crying and they were saying, "Eich naflu giborim b'seicham alchama yohainasan abam yisayeh cholol." They talk and did give a good eulogy. Eich naflu giborim v'yayv to claim alchama. What's the Gemara saying? That there was no, they didn't give a good eulogy. So the Eitz Yosef and Ein Yaakov and Yevamos, was it Ein Ches, says that yeah, they gave a eulogy, but it wasn't good enough. They should have done more. That's one pshat. And Maariz Chayis in Maseches Yevamos says a different nekuda. So it's a very interesting point that he makes. If you look in all of Tanakh, it never says what they spoke about by a person's eulogy, except by Shlomo Melech. By everyone else, it never says what they spoke about. There's a medrash that says that in the beginning of Chayesara, there's a medrash that says that the eulogy by Avraham the spread the Sarah of Koysa, that Avraham gave a hesped on Sarah. So the medrash says, what was the hesped that Avraham Avinu gave on Sarah? It was Eshes Chayil. That parak in Mishlei, the parak Lamanaf, I think it is, that talks about a woman of valor. So that's the hesped that Avraham Avinu gave on Sarah. But nowhere else in Tanakh does it actually say. What?
The
I remember. There's a manager. I think it's a manager that says that. But nowhere else, but nowhere do you actually see explicitly, though, this is what the hesped was. This was the way they mourned such and so and so's death. The only place you ever see it is by Shaul. So the Maariz Chayis says the question is even stronger. It's like not just that they did do hespedim, and you're saying they didn't. They did, and nowhere else in Tanakh do we find it's paid them by anyone else. So what's going on over here? So the Maariz Chayis says like this. The minig in Klal Yisrael apparently was like this. That they had some people called Mekonenos and Meyalalos. Gemara in the Maseches Tanis talks about it. They had people whose jobs it was to go to levayas and to go to cemeteries and to cry and to say sad things and songs. But the way it worked was there was a certain template. There was a certain default lashon, that default text that they would say. Certain things that they would say for everyone. It was the same text for everyone. Why? What's pshat? Because when a person dies, so everyone is sad, and they don't, their mind is not settled. They're sad. They're not in the normal situation. They don't know what to do. They don't have time to sit down and write a beautiful poem. They don't have time to start thinking about exactly how should I say this and how should I say that. That's not what they're thinking about. They're thinking about, this person was nifter, this person. They can't properly focus. So the minhag was, they used a certain text that they said for everyone. The same thing. So Maariz Chayis says, wait a second. By Shaul HaMelech, we see in the psukim what was the hesped, and it was a special hesped. It wasn't just a regular text that everyone said that they said for everyone. It was a special hesped. So that was the problem. The problem was that when Shaul HaMelech died, everyone was so cool about it. They weren't like out of their mind. They weren't out of their element that they were able to sit down and write what they're gonna say. And they were able to say nice things about Shaul HaMelech, but because they had that yeshiva das. That's the problem. The problem is they weren't so bothered by it that they couldn't sit down and focus. They could focus. That was the problem. The problem was that they gave their hesped was too good. That's the problem.
How come to them it wasn't how come to Hashem it's a big deal? He was such a chashuv a person. He said
he was such a chashuv a person, and you weren't bothered by his death.
To everybody else, he didn't seem so
chashuv.
That's no. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
They didn't think about it. Yeah. Once we're talking about this,
they have no hero. Also, when I think when a king dies, people think what's going to be next.
You're right.
Situation. Who's going to be the next president?
You're right. You're saying good.
You get hectic about it.
I saw
it. More so when the king of Israel dies.
Yeah. I saw in the news. It was like a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago in the news, they had what happened was that they were doing a practice, a rehearsal practice for what they would do for the funeral of the Queen Elizabeth in England. In case she dies, this is how they're going to do it. And you know, what the soldiers are going to do, exactly like this. So they're practicing, right? So apparently somebody misunderstood what was happening and thought that she actually did die, and sent like a Twitter message that the Queen died, and then there was like a whole big thing in the news that like, oh, the Queen died, and then like it took them like an hour or two to figure out like, no, she didn't really die, it was a mistake that someone saw them practicing and thought that they... You're right, so that's what happens in contemporary times. But back then, they weren't preparing for the guy to die. They weren't sitting down and writing poem, in case he dies, this is what we're going to say by his levaya. Some people, like, you know, like recently different gedolim have died, and then within 2-3 months they come with a whole fat book, you know, a biography on him. It's like, you wrote that in 2 months? Come on, tell me the truth. Did you really write it when he was alive and you're waiting for him to die? That's even worse. Like, I don't know, but there's a similar story. The idea of the smart skills is there's a similar story to. They say a story about a legend about the Taz and the Bach. We know that the Taz, one of the major Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, he was a son-in-law of the Bach, one of the major Mefarshim on the tour. He married the Bach's daughter. And when the Bach's daughter died, so the Taz, you know, he gave a nice eloquent speech by the Levaya and the funeral, whatever, and then after, you know, he was an Avelus, after this period of Avelus, so he went to the Bach, to his father-in-law, and he said, you know, I want to marry your next daughter. So the Bach said, nope! Why? How can you give such a beautiful speech by the Levaya? Like, how are you able to have that tranquility to speak so eloquently at your wife's Levaya, Eishes Neurim, and you're giving such a beautiful speech? I'm not going to give you my next daughter. I seem to remember that, like, in the end, he did marry one of the Bach's other daughter or granddaughter, something like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's the same idea over there. That how could you have that Yishuv Adas that... But... So that's... I'm not saying that, no. I'm saying that it could be that the Bach maybe looked at it like that, or that it was a chisarn in the covenant to her. Something like that. Okay. So that's the other pshat in the Gemara, one of the other factors that the Gemara says that the famine came because they didn't give a proper hesbedim on Shaul. But our Medrash just talks about the fact that Shaul is buried in Chutz Laaretz and David and Malach is in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Miad Amad David v'lokach as kol chachmi Yisrael g'dayleihem. Immediately David and Malach got up and he took all the wise men of Klal Yisrael and all the choshev people v'ovru es ha'yarden and they crossed the Jordan uvol liyavish Gilad. They went to Yavish Gilad umotzu es atzmei Shaul v'yohinesan b'noi shloi shalta behem rima. And they went and they dug up the bones of Shaul and Yohanan, and they saw the Lei Shalta Behem Rima. There were no worms in their bones. And the Radal says that there's like two things going on here. Usually when you talk about worms, the worms are in the flesh, and bones, we say that the bones decay. So he says that it means to say that the bones didn't decay. Not that there were no worms, because there would only be worms in the flesh. Or that the flesh was also intact, I guess. Right. Well, that's because he was embalmed. He was preserved.
Yeah, but why?
Why was he preserved?
Yeah.
Okay, we spoke about that, but here he wasn't preserved, and if this is like 30 years later, you know, this is like a huge chiddush. Yeah, even a year later. V'alav namar about, I guess it really should probably say v'aleihem namar. About Shaul and Yohanan, it says, Shem Uklat Vesov Achas Mehenel Nishboil. That Hashem guards their bones, Achas Mehenel Nishboil. Not even one of them was broken or decayed or anything. V'lokachas Atzmoisom, and David Melech took their bones, and Usanam Ba'oroin, and he put them in a coffin. V'ovru Es Hayarden, and they crossed back to the Jordan. Shemar says in the Pasuk, V'yikbru Es Atzmois Shaul V'Yohanan Benoi V'yasu Koil Asher Tziva Hanala. And they buried the bones of Shaul and his son Yohanan, and they did everything that the king commanded. Maybe it's starting like, okay, yeah, Matziva Melech, what did the king command? What was this special thing that they did? Liyaitz Ma'avirin es Aroinu shel Shaul b'chol gvul Yisrael b'chol shevet v'shevet. They would go and they should transport or pass around the coffin of Shaul throughout the all the borders of Klal Yisrael, from every to every shevet and shevet, v'ayah hagvul shenichnas by a rene shel Shaul, and whenever whatever place, whatever when they would reach that territory, whatever territory the coffin of Shaul would enter, hayo yotzin heim uvnei sehen v'gemlem chaset. They would come out, all the people from that territory would come out, them and their daughters and their sons, and they would come and do chesed to Shaul. They would go and push it, they would show their respect to him. They would go out to Kilo to greet him, to give cover to him. So that they could fulfill their obligation of giving gemilas chasadim to Shaul HaMelech. And remember, that's why we're talking about this. Because we're talking about gemilas chasadim for people who are in Avelis and Gemilas Chasadim for people who were Nifter. Ad Sheba L'Gvul Nachlosai L'Eretz Binyamin, that's what the Radal says the Gisra should be, till they came to the border of his inheritance in Eretz Binyamin. Shinamar, the Radal takes out the word Shinamar. And Vayikbu Yisai B'Gvul Nachlosai, and they buried him in the border of his, in the territory of his inheritance. The word Shinamar is a mistake, the Radal says, because there is a pasuk that says Vayik Broisa Bikvul Nachlasai, but it's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, I believe, talking about the death, talking about the burial of Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Those words is a pasuk that does mean that context, but it's talking about a different person. But here we're just sort of bringing that pasuk and using it in a different way. So it's not really Shinamar. Fine, that's what the Radal says.
Where is the kever of Shaul?
Where is the kever of Shaul?
Yeah.
In a place, I believe, called Givas Shaul. Where is not it? We call Givas Shaul in Yerushalayim now?
No, it's in between, I think it's between Amot and what's it called? The Rechus.
That's Shmuel, the Shmuel Navi.
No, it's Shmuel Navi. It's a place that's hidden. We don't know what the what's it called? The top of the place.
Tomb.
I don't
know if we know where it is.
That's
but the pasuk says that he's buried in a place called Give Us Shaul.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the hill of Shaul.
But where is that?
I don't think we know where it is. Do you know? Do we know?
It's Binyamin.
Yeah, it's Binyamin.
It's Binyamin was a very small territory.
Yeah.
I think they had the smallest nafut. So you're not talking about a very big area.
Okay, so we'll go out and look for it. We'll take a tour.
I heard someone saying that's not place.
Bring suntan lotion.
That now belongs to the Arabs and whatever. It's in between Ramat and whatever. It's over there. What's based?
Shuafat.
Whatever. There's a road to what's it called? Nabi Yaakov.
Yeah.
So the left side is all Arabs and stuff.
Ramallah.
No, before.
Before Ramallah.
This is the base Hanina.
Shuaf. Oh, but. Yeah.
And
where the light rail goes, not the
light.
Yeah,
exactly. Over there.
You've been there? You've been there yet?
I've never been there. People said that in the Shver told me that when the Jordanians were here and they wanted that place exactly to build a palace or whatever for the king, and they didn't, there was a protest and stuff because they knew that maybe that's the place where Shaul HaMelech is buried. Or confusion about it.
So why did they go there and find out and make it a decent place?
Yeah. Interesting. So the halacha is that usually you don't give hespedim for somebody after 12 months after the guy's nifter, but in this case, the mafarshim speak out that since his body was still intact, so the halacha is that you could still give hespedim. Came and so this is what they did. They took him around and everyone would pay their last respects to him. And then they buried him in Eretz Yisrael proper. Came and Shirah Kadosh Baruch Hu Shigamu Lei Chesed Kol Yisrael. Once the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that they gave that all Bnei Yisrael gave Chesed, did Chesed for Shaul HaMelech, Miyad Nismali Rachamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu was filled with Rachamim. Rinosan Motar Al Oretz, and he gave rain to the land. Shneimar says in the pasuk, "Vayayoser lekim laoretz achreichen," and Kadosh Baruch Hu heated to the land afterwards, and then there was rain again.
I wonder what's going to happen
in California that I should give rain over
it. What, there's a famine there? Yeah, for a long time.
There's some good hospitable over there.
Have rain over there.
I didn't hear about it. Okay. So now we're going to move on to another story. We're going to speak about Yoshio HaMelech. King Josiah, Yoshio HaMelech, of the tragic story of Yoshio HaMelech. We'll give an introduction. After Shlomo HaMelech died, so his son Rehavam took over as the king. And Rehavam, you know, he wanted to know, you know, how do I treat the people? He never read Machiavellian's The Prince. So he didn't know how to deal with people. He didn't know how to be a king. So he spoke to his advisors. And his older advisors, the older men, told him, you know, be nice to them and try to do good for them, whatever. And his younger advisors said, oh, you got to be tough and you got to show them who's boss. So because he's a young guy, you know, a young schnook, kilo, so he took the advice of the younger advisors, not the older advisors. And he was tough with them. And people weren't so interested in, you know, Shlomo Melech himself was a nice king, but he was also pretty tough. And he said, you know, my pinky is fatter than the stomach of my father. Meaning he's saying that I'm going to be even tougher than him. Right? So he was even tougher. So a lot of people were not interested in him being their king. And it happened to be that one of Shlomo Melech's servants, whose name was Yeravam, who sort of tried to start a rebellion before and ran away to Mitzrayim, he decided he's coming back, and a lot of people ended up following him. So this guy became a king of Yisrael, Yeravam ben Nevat. He became the king of what's called Yisrael, and Rehavam became a king of what's called Yehuda, and it split. Achia Hashilaini, who was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, he was the one who appointed Yeravam ben Nevat as the king of Yisrael. So it was Hashem did agree to it in some ways. It wasn't like Stam a rebellion against. That's basically what happened. Yeravam decided, you know, he had competition, because what happened was, you know, the halacha is that you go to every 3 times a year, you have to go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to go to Yerushalayim to Eilel HaRegel. So that people are going to go to Yerushalayim, and then they're going to be so enthralled by what's happening over there, and they're going to want to become have more shaychus to what's happening in Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and they're not going to want me as king anymore. So what did he do? He outlawed going to Yerushalayim and said, instead of going to Yerushalayim, here, we're going to have one Avodah Zarah over here in Don, and one Avodah Zarah over there, and where's the other one? Beis El. And instead of going to Yerushalayim, you could do whatever your Avodahs you have to do, whatever religious practices, you could do it over here. You don't have to go there, in order to make sure that people don't go there. Okay? So basically what it says in the Navi is that after this happened, one time he was over there serving his Avodah Zarah, and Idoy HaNavi, I believe it was Idoy HaNavi, comes and tells him off for all these things. And Idoy HaNavi gives him a nevuah that there's going to be a descendant of David Melech named Yeshiyahu, who's going to come and he's going to fix up all these problems over here. He's going to get rid of all these Avodah Zarahs. And then later on, there's Taka going to be a person named Yeshiyahu. By the time Yeshua was born, Malchus Yisrael was already completely gone. Sancheriv already sent them out. They don't exist anymore. But this is the story of Yeshua. This is the introduction to Yeshua HaMelech. Rabbi Nisanal Omer. Rabbi Nisanal says, Shloish Me'ishana Ashelainoila Yeshiyahu Nikr Shmoy. 300 years before Yeshiyahu was born, his name was given. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, this is the Nevuah of Idoy HaNavi. Hine bein noilad leveis David Yeshiyahu shmoi. Behold, a son will be born to the house of David. His name will be Yeshiyahu, Josiah. And the Medrash Pirkei Avos brings this again in Perek Lamed Beis. There's going to be a list of different people in Tanakh whose names were given before they were born. Yeshiyahu is one of the people. His name is given 300 years before he was born. The Radal and the Marzu make a cheshvan of exactly how you get to that number of 300, and they say that it's really a little bit more than 300. It's lav dafka. It's really, we'll call it about 300 years.
Who gave the name? The
Nevuah said that there's going to be such a person, and when he was born, whatever, his father named him Yeshiyahu. That was the kiyum of that Nevuah. That was a realization of that Nevuah.
The Nevuah gave the name.
Hashem said that, you know, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you're going to have a son and his name is going to, and you're going to call him Yitzchak. And he had a son and he named him Yitzchak. So who gave him the name? Avraham Avinu gave him the name Yitzchak. But Hashem told him beforehand what the name is going to be. So here it's the same idea. So that's the king Yeshiyahu. Uben Shmoyna Shana Molach. He was 8 years old when he became king. A kid was 8 years old. Mahi Daitai, what's his das? What's in his brain? How does he know how to lead? How can he be a leader? So the way the Marzu reads it, you have to say it like this. Ella, rather, even though he was 8 years old and he was a kid, still he recognized the truth when it confronted him. And Moas Eswe Elilim, he despised idolatry, Vishiva Samatsevis, and he broke the altars of Avodah Zarah, Bukhara Sasar Sherim, and he cut down the Asherah trees, Vigida Sapsilim, and he dismembered the figurines of Avodah Zarah. And his chus was shining forth in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, the iconoclast. He went and destroyed Avodah Zarah. That was what Yeshayahu did, and that's the key of the Nevuah of Ido Yonavi, where he told Yeravam ben Nevat that someone from Dar al-Nachsam is going to come and destroy Avodah Zarah. This was Yeshayahu of HaMelech. He destroyed Avodah Zarah. Even though he was a little kid, when he became king and he started this campaign, this anti-Avodah Zarah campaign, we might say he was Matzliach. There's a lot of different things that the Chazal and the Pesukim talk about Yeshayahu. We're not going to talk about all of them, but there's a famous thing that he found a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash when he was 18. And the Gemara says that after he found the Sefer Torah, he went through it and he started reading it, and he realized, you know, some of the as a king, he used to be a judge as well. And he decided, you know, some of the judgments that I rendered, you know, might have been mistaken, because I wasn't such an expert in Torah. So he went back to all the cases that he decided from when he was 8 till he was 18, 10 years worth of cases, and he gave all the litigants money. He said, no, I'll make you, because I made you pay him, so here, I'll give you the money in case maybe I was wrong and really you shouldn't have had to pay him. So he paid around, that's a good morning, I think in Shabbos. There's different things about Yeshayahu HaMelech. But here we're saying the Ikar Nekudas that he went and he destroyed Avodah Zarah.
But we get a tax return.
Yeah. It's like a tax return, right? So the way the Marzud read this message that we said was that even though he was 8 years old, Lamaisa, he was able to recognize the truth when he saw it, and that's why he just went and had a whole campaign against Avodah Zarah. This is a very interesting Shtigl Torah from Viliomi Izmir over here in Veloy Oid Ella. He asks this question. He says, you read the Medrash, the Medrash asks a question and doesn't answer it. Because you read it. What is the das of a kid who's 8 years old? And then it says, rather he hated Avodah Zarah and he went and he destroyed it. But he was 8 years old. How did you answer the question? So he says like this. Very, very interesting idea. Yomi Izmir says like this. It's that he brings from the Arizal in Sefer Gilgulim that the Arizal writes that Yeshayahu HaMelech, Melech Yehuda, was a Gilgul of Achav Melech Yisrael. That's what the Arizal writes. Now Achav Melech Yisrael, we mentioned before, was one of the worst felons, the worst offenders of Avodah Zarah in the history of Klal Yisrael. So it does say that he did tshuva, but might say at the end of the day he was also chayter machti as a rabbim, so tshuva alone doesn't necessarily get rid of it. But that was Achav, and Yeshayahu was a Gilgul of Achav. That's what the Rizal says. So Rabbi Leoma Izmir says very interesting. You say, he says when a person is Gilgul from a previous life, so when they come down again, when their neshama comes back to this world, so the reason why they're back here is because they have to fix, be misakin, the averas that they did in the previous Gilgul. He says that the neshama itself knows what it has to fix. So even if you're a kid, you're 8 years old, and you don't even know how to think, your mind is not developed, you're not a mature person yet, but your neshama knows what its role in this world is and what its goals are supposed to be. So he says that's the pshat over here. Yeshayahu, he was 8 years old, and his neshama knew that he was a Gilgul of Achav, and Achav was over Avodah Zarah. He knows that his role in life is to get rid of the Avodah Zarah and Klal Yisrael. And that's why he went on this whole campaign and destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, and that was Yeshayahu the iconoclast. That's the pshat that Rabbi Yomi Izmir says. That the neshama itself knows, based on this Arizal, that he was a Gilgul, Yeshayahu was a Gilgul of Achav. Beautiful, Mamish is beautiful. I think it's a beautiful part. Well,
so he pulled some bones out of the graves and he fixed the
problem. When I saw this part, when you brought down this shtickle from the Arizal, I said, with this, you can answer another question that I once had. basically in the Navi Zechariah. What parak is it? Zechariah parak beis. The Navi Zechariah is talking about the Mais Mashiach, and in the Mais Mashiach, the Armageddon or the apocalypse, whatever they call it, there's going to be a big war and a lot of people are going to die, and etc. So it says in the Navi Zechariah, it says Bayem Ahu Yigdal Hamispeid Birushalayim. On that day, the hesped, the eulogies in Yerushalayim is going to be so great, so much. Kemispeid Hadad Rimain BeBikas Megidon, like the eulogy of Hadad Rimain in the Valley of Megidon. If you ever heard the Christians are into like Megiddo and the apocalypse or whatever, that's coming from this pasuk in Zechariah. That there was a hesped of somebody named Hadad Rimain in the Valley of Megiddon. And Hashem and the Navi Zechariah is saying that Hashem said that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be such a destruction, and there's going to be so much hespedim that's going to, in Yerushalayim, that it's going to be like the hespedim Hadad Riman in this place called Megiddon. What's that talking about? Hadad Riman and Megiddon. So the Ibn Ezra over there in Zechariah, he says, who's this Hadad Riman that they gave a hesped for him in Megiddon? Ibn Ezra says, I don't know. How can you expect me to know every guy who lived in the ancient world? Ibn Ezra says, apparently he was a famous guy who died and they had a spade from him in Hadad Rimain in Bikas Megiddon, and the Navi Zechariah is making an analogy to that. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. However, Chazal tell us not like this. Chazal tell us who was Hadad, what exactly Zechariah is referring to. It says that Zechariah Novi is referring to Hadad Rimain is talking about Achav Melech Yisrael, who was killed by Ben Hadad, the king by the army of Ben Hadad, the king of Aram. That's talking about Achav, and it's talking about Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who was killed in war in Megiddon. We're going to speak about in a few moments exactly how the story of why Yoshiyahu was killed, the tragic ending of Yoshiyahu, but over there in Megiddon. That's what the Gemara says. Ma'id Katan Chaf Chesam Beis. That it's talking about these two incidences where the kings, I think, are the only, besides Shaul HaMelech, these are the only instances where you had a king in Bnei Yisrael that was killed in war.
But you had kings of Yehuda were killed by the servants, like
Same.
Hamatzi.
Fine, but killed in war only Achav and Yeshiyahu besides Shaul HaMelech. Yeah.
I mean against Gentiles.
Yeah.
Does it count?
Oh, 1 second. So, you know, if you look in the Psukim, if you look in the Parsha Pshat in the Psukim, it sounds like it's talking about one guy named Hadad Rimon, who was killed in a place called Megiddon. So, how's the Gemara saying it's talking about two people? Hadad Rimon is a reference to Achav. And where was Achav killed?
Ramayz
Gilad. We just said it a few minutes ago. Ramayz Gilad. So, Achav was killed in Ramayz Gilad, and Yeshiyahu was killed in Megiddon. So the Gemara is sort of like taking you know, half of this story, half of this story, and saying that what the Psukim that says Hadad Rimon and Megiddo is talking about, Hadad Rimon is talking about Achav and Megiddo is talking about Yeshiyahu. It's sort of like splitting what seems to be one story into two stories. So how does that work? So if you learn like that Arizal, the Arizal says that Yeshiyahu was a Gilgal of Achav. So really, it is one person. The Novi seems to be talking about a hesped of one person. Yeah, we are talking about the hesped of one person. If you learn like the Arizal, I think it's not mamish, doesn't really answer the question completely. But it makes it, it's not such a question. Yeah, the Navi is talking about one person. He's talking about two Gilgulim of that one neshama.
The first Gilgulim is killed by the northerners, and the second one is killed by the southerners.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What is the source of the Arizal? Also like a
We don't ask what was the source of the Arizal. The Arizal himself is the source. A lot of the things that the Arizal says is based on the Zohar. A lot of things are based on his own Kabbalah that he had from his Rebbeim or his Rebbeim, etc. That, you know, he was the first person to write it down. So we say it in his name because he didn't write it down. His Talmidim wrote it down. His Talmidim were the first people to write it down. So they write it down in his name. He heard it from his Rebbe, that's what Kabbalah is. Kabbalah means to accept. Why is it called accepting? Because you accept it from your Rebbe, you accept it from his Rebbe, etc., etc., going back up. So what's his source? His source is Kabbalah.
But Rabbi Chaim Vital said that he was born to write down the Ketav Ktive HaAriza.
Right.
He helped the people to write down Ktive HaAriza.
Right.
Also, the Ariza himself was on a very high level.
Right.
So he got all this information from being on a high level.
Right.
Which shows you the point that only a few minutes at her can you come to a real understanding.
Right. So you can't really ask what's the source of that result. That result is a source. Okay.
Have that feeling when it should just melt and dry out instead of asking a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're asking a good question. If it was like a Rosh Hashiva who said something.
No, because it's so evident that there should be like some connection between that story, that the Navi and the response that the Arizal gave. That is, maybe that's even like some. I'm not saying that he doesn't have any other sources, like, you know.
The truth, look. The truth
maybe
is.
Maybe this is also like some kind of a proof.
The truth is, I didn't see the Arizal inside. I didn't look at Sefer Gilgulam. I just saw Rabbi Leo Meir Bekoyer. For all I know, he asked this question and says this part as the answer. I don't know. Could be that's the source. I really don't know. But that's the Arizal.
Do you have the book?
The Sefer Gilgulam?
Yeah.
I have Yitzhak Chachma on my computer, so I have a lot of Sfarim. I don't know, I probably have it.
Okay.
Right. Fine. So now we're going to speak about the tragic end of Yeshio HaMelech. What happened with Yeshio HaMelech? So that's it. Let's read one more line. Uvishvil HaRoah Shehayu Eisen B'Seser Nasaf HaTzadik. Because of the bad things that Bnei Yisrael were doing B'Seser, in not out in the open, hiddenly, Nesaf HaTzadik, the Tzadik was killed. So even though Yeshio made a whole campaign to destroy and get rid of Avodah Zarah from Klal Yisrael, because of what Bnei Yisrael was doing, you know, behind closed doors, literally, so the Tzadik was destroyed. The Tzadik was killed. So what's the story? The story is like this.
It was literally.
Yeah, that's why I said it. The story is like this. The story is that the two main superpowers in the world in the time of Yeshio HaMelech was Bavel, who had sort of just taken over from Ashur. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar's father were from Bavel. They took over Ashur, and now they're the main superpower over there in Mesopotamia and in the northeast, and in the southwest they had Egypt. Egypt was also a main superpower then, and the name of the king of Egypt at that time was Paro Nechoy. Paro the lame, or I guess in modern Hebrew they call him Paro the handicap. So Paro Nechoy and Nebuchadnezzar were major rivals in control. Who has more control in the world? And we're going to have a war between Paro Nechoy and Nebuchadnezzar. Paro Nechoy wants to go fight Nebuchadnezzar. Now the thing is, if you want to go from Bavel, if you want to go from Mitzrayim down here to Bavel up here, you have to pass through Eretz Yisrael. Pashtus, you have to pass it. There, you could go around and sort of avoid it by going like from the deep, from like south, and then going like east of Eretz Yisrael, and sort of like the way that Bnei Yisrael went through the desert and then went through like Amon and Moab. But the easiest way is to just cut through Eretz Yisrael and go straight to Babel, right? So Paro Nechoy wants to go fight Nebuchadnezzar, and he wants to cut through Eretz Yisrael to go fight Nebuchadnezzar in Babel. So he sends a letter to Yeshio HaMelech and says, can I go through your land? I'm not going to fight you. I just want to pass through your land so I can go fight Nebuchadnezzar. So Yeshio doesn't know what to do. He says, should I say yes or should I say no? So it says Yirmiyahu Navi comes to Yeshio HaMelech, and Yirmiyahu says, don't say no. Let them do it. Let them do it. Let Paro Nechoy go through Eretz Yisrael. That's when the Navi Yirmiyahu tells him. Yeshio says to himself, wait a second. I'm a shtickle. He's a shtickle Talmud Chacham, right? He learned Chumash. It says in Chumash, by the brachas in the Parshas Behar, it says, the beginning of B'chukaysai, a sword will not pass through your land. It says, when Klal Yisrael is doing good, a sword will not pass through your land. Even if the sword is not coming to fight you, it's just passing through your land to fight someone else. A foreign army will not pass through your land. A sword will not pass through your land. I'm not letting them pass through my land. Because Klal Yisrael is doing good, and we deserve the brachos that Hashem said, and I'm not going to let them pass through our land. Because he understood that the Klal Yisrael was doing good because he destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, right? But Yirmiyahu said, don't say no! Don't say no! So what happened? Like this. The Midrash tells us that what really happened was that even though Yirmiyahu made this whole campaign to destroy Avodah Zarah, what happened was people were still Avodah Zarah. This is what we're talking about over here. Harah shahayu eisen b'seiser, the bad that they were doing hiddenly, is talking about the fact that what the Jews would, what people would do is they would make their, Yeshua Melech sent inspectors house to house to make sure that there's no Avodah Zarah left. He made a whole campaign. It was a serious thing to get rid of. So what do people do? On the doors, the inside of their doors to Avodah Zarah, that's to their house, they put up their Avodah Zarahs. Like, let's say it like this, right here. On the back, on the inside of the door, you put your Avodah Zarah, you'll put a little bit over here, a little bit over here, right? So what happens? The inspector comes in, he opens the door, he looks in the house, he sees, oh, there's no Avodah Zarah, good. He leaves, he closes the door, right? They start banging down to their Avodah Zarah. Where was the Avodah Zarah? It was behind the door. It's behind closed doors. That was their Avodah Zarah. It's literally behind closed doors. But Yeshua was I guess naive or gullible. He didn't realize that they were still being Avodah Zarah. He thought he got rid of Avodah Zarah and the Klal Yisrael was on a higher level and that we deserve that. And Yirmiyahu Navi, who Hashem was megala to him, you know what was really happening, is telling him, no, you're not holding on that level. You're not as the nation is not as good as you think they are. But he didn't listen to the Navi. He let Paranachal, he said, no, I'm not letting you go. And Paranachal says, oh yeah, well then I'll force my way through. Right? And then he fights, and there's a battle between, you know, Yehuda and Mitzrayim, and they take over, Mitzrayim takes over, and they kill Yeshua in battle over there in Megiddoin. That's what we're talking about, the battle of Megiddoin. Yeshua is killed, Paranachal takes over, and he's in charge of the Jews for a while, and then he fights Nebuchadnezzar, the famous battle of Karkamish, and Nebuchadnezzar beats Paranachoi, and that's sort of the beginning of the end, and then the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed from that. And that's why we have Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks and everything. So this the tragic end of the story of Yeshiyahu HaMelech, that is the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the end. V'nesru kol anshe Yehuda v'Yerushalayim v'Yirmiyahu HaNavi ligmal chasadim Yeshiyahu. And all of the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim and Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they all gathered together to do chesed to Yeshiyahu, to give a spadim for Yeshiyahu. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yeshiyahu. Yirmiyahu lamented about Yeshiyahu. Pasuk in Divrei Yamim. It says in the pasuk, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yeshiyahu, Vayarmil ka sharim v'hashareis b'kineseihem al Yeshiyahu adayim. All of the sharim and the shareis said their lamentations about Yeshiyahu until this day. And they gave it as a chayk, as a decree on Klal Yisrael. And these the eulogies and the lamentations, the elegies that they wrote for Yeshiyahu are written in the kinais. That's what it says in the pasuk of Divrei Yamim. So what are these sharim and the shareis? Rabbi Meir says, Hasharim, what are the sharim? Elu ha-levim ha-aimim al-duchanim b'shir. It's talking about the levim who would stand on the platform when they sang the songs of the Beis HaMikdash. The hasharais, what are the sharais? Elu nishisehen. These are, you know, sharim are singers, and sharais, male singers, and sharais are female singers. So who is it talking about? It's talking about their wives. The wives of the levim. And the radas, that's like, just like we say, like, we have a kohen. So kohen's wife is called a kohenes. Or Levi, a Levi's wife is a Leviya. So if a Levi is called a Shar, or Sharim, so Leviim's wife is called Sharis. Same idea. So that's Rabbi Meir's pshat. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Loya Leviim and Rishayim. Remember, it's not talking about the Leviim and their wives. It's talking about all the wise women in Klal Yisrael that gave his spadim on Yeshiyahu. Shnema, it says in the Pasuk, Koya Mar Hashem Tzvokos, his Bainu Vikiru Lemukainanais Usvayana. So said Hashem of the legions, you should have hispaninus about it, think about it. Vikiru la makainus, you should call all the makainus, the female people who give lamentations, with Svayana, and they should come. V'chein kiblu aleihem kol Yisrael liyos goyim lin chesed im kol chachmei Yisrael ugdeileihem. And just like they gave hespedim on Yeshua Melech, so too the Jews were accepted upon themselves that they're going to do chesed, meaning they're going to do hespedim, proper hespedim, on all chachmei Yisrael and gedeileihem, and gedeileihem of kol Yisrael. Shenemar, it says in the end of that pasuk, it says vayitnum l'choik kol Yisrael, and they made it as a choik, as a decree in kol Yisrael. And Rashi says, over there in Divrei Yomim, Rashi says that what does it mean the Vayitnu B'chayk al Yisrael, that they made a takana that every time that there's a sad thing that happened, a sorrow that we're expressing our sadness about, you should also mention the tragedy of Yeshua HaMelech. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Kishnizdamin la shum tsaru bechia, when there's any pain or crying, shehem akaninim ubaychim la ma'ira, they're lamenting and crying about any event, hemaskirim zehat tsar imay, they would also mention this tsar, this pain of the death of Yeshua with whatever they were doing. For example, dogma, betisha ba'av, shemaskirim kines al harugim begzeish iru biyamenu. Rashi says, Rashi and Divrei Yomim. Okay, Rashi and Divrei Yomim, by the way, is not necessarily Rashi. So, but it was written. It's a Rishon, but not necessarily Rashi. The Chidon Shem Gedolim writes that it's not Rashi, but it's we call it Miuchas L'Rashi. But he says that the Gzeres that happened in our days, the Crusades, right? But on Tisha B'Av, we have Kines about the Crusades. Why? Because it's a takana that when you're crying and you're having hespedim and lamentations about a sad event, so you mention all the different sad events. So we have a kinois on Tisha B'Av about the Crusades and about Gzeres Tachtat, and we have Kein Yivkiyun Amois Yeshio, and we have about the Holocaust in more modern times. So too they should cry about the death of Yeshio. And in fact, I brought with me the art school kinois. And if you look at Kina Yud Aleph on the day, on the Tisha B'Av day, Kina Yud Aleph, Vayakinin Yemiyo al Yeshio. That's the beginning of the Kina. And it's a whole lamentation about Yeshio Melech and this whole tragic story that we said over with the king and the people who were doing their affairs behind the doors and all these things. It goes through in great detail in poetry. Someone told me that this was written by a Kalir. Art school, I don't think, mentions that it was written by a Kalir, but this is one of the poems that they wrote about the death of Yeshio. V'hinam k'suvim ala kinois. The kinois, the Seyan Tisha B'Av, we talk about the death of Yeshio. The Ralbag actually on that pasuk says v'hinam k'suvim ala kinois, says that there's certain psukim, if you look in Eicha, if you look really good, certain psukim that are being meramez, they're really speaking about the death of Yeshio. Not just talking about the destruction of Yisrael, but also talking about the death of Yeshio. We have this kina over here. It's interesting. In the kina, it says that towards the end of the kina, it says Tala be'esem rishtayim mehareis shasois, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that really the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be destroyed in the time of Yeshio HaMelech, and because of the schus of Yeshio HaMelech that he destroyed the Avodah Zarah and everything, so because of that Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to wait with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash for 22 years. So from the death of Yeshio HaMelech until the destruction of Beis HaMikdash was 22 years. There were a bunch of kings because they had short reigns, but it was only 22 years from the death of Yeshio HaMelech till the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. What the exact cheshbon?
Yochus is a king for 3 months.
Right.
Even another 3 months of Yochim.
Art school gives the exact cheshbon. After Yeshio was Yehoyachos for 3 months, then Yehoyachim for 11 years, and then Yehoyachim for another 3 months and 10 days. Yehoyachim is also Yechonia, yeah. Right? And then Tzidkiyahu for another 11 years. That comes at 22 years, 6 days,
so
6 months, and 10 days. So that's 22 years, 6 months and 10 days after Yeshio was killed was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it comes out that Yeshio who died on Rish Chodesh Av. The Yotzei of Aaron HaKohen. Pashtus. The Ralbag says that Aaron HaKohen died on Rish Chodesh Shvat. But the Pasuk seems to be saying that he died on Rish Chodesh Av. Oh, sorry, you're right, 6 months, I'm sorry.
It says in the Chumash that
Aaron HaKohen... 10 days is 6 months, right, I'm sorry, never mind, forget about that.
Tremis.
Well, it depends if it was Ibri or not. So now we're getting into real problems. Okay, whatever.
So
it wasn't tough. No, scratch that. We said because it was 6 months. I forgot the 6 months.
I don't know. It says in the pasuk when he's not there.
Right, but it's a funny Ralbag. The Ralbag says that Chedesh HaChamishi by Aaron HaKohen, it means Chamishi from Tishrei, not Chamishi from Nisan. So he says it's talking about Shvat. Where do you find that in the whole Tanakh? I don't know. But that's what the Ralbag says. It's not Pashup Shat. You're right. But because the Rabbi says this, I said it's not Pashup. But Pashup Shad is that he died in Moshesh off. Fine. So that's the story, the tragic story of Yeshua Melech. And we think about it every year, because that was Mamish, the beginning of the end. He thought they were on a higher dagger than they were. He should have listened to the Navi. That's the problem. When you don't listen to the Navi, you know, you're treading on you're treading on ice.
Yeah, but it's funny. But anyway, the whole cloud sort of bound to work with the sort of stuff.
I don't know if it was the whole cloud yourself. He did a pretty good job probably getting rid of it.
Maybe a lot of people. I'm saying like maybe the doom, the end of the resurrection and stuff can be only because of that, you know, wrong turn. Of not, you know, listen to the Tanavi. That's
right.
Much bigger stuff.
Yeah, of course, but you know, all of it adds up, really. You know, it seems like this is maybe the straw that broke the camel's back.
It says somewhere that the Tzani Adar was doing that.
The Tzani Adar?
I think so.
Okay, it could be. There's such a lot.
Second of all, it says in the passing that Hashem was still upset about Menashe Mel for all the blood that he spilled. I think
okay.
He explained that if in the generation of Yeshua they would have really done tshuva, then Hashem would have forgiven also retroactively for Menashe.
But they didn't really do tshuva. So
like you said, it mounted up.
Right.
So if Hashem was still upset about Menashe.
Okay, let's try to finish the parak. Shlomo Melech saw that the midah of Gemilas Chasadim was a chashuv thing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is sort of like the end. This is sort of summing up everything that we spoke about in the last two prakim about Gemilas Chasadim for Chasanas and for Chasanim and Kalas and Gemilas Chasadim for people who are in Avelis. So Shlomo Melech saw how great the Indian of Gemilas Chasadim was in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, he built two gates. One gate was the gate for grooms, and one gate was the gate for people who are in avelus and in excommunication. A person who's in cherem is menuda, who's in excommunication, he has a lot of the same halachas as a person who's in avelus. The Jews would go on Shabbos and they would sit between these two gates. A person who would go into the gate for chasanim, everyone would know this guy is a chasan. And they would say to him, he who dwells in this house should make you gladdened with sons and daughters. Everyone knows that whoever goes to that door is a chosin, so I'm going to stand by the door. Every guy who comes in, I'll say mazel tov to him. That's basically what they did.
And give him a donation.
Give him a donation. No, when you shake his hand to say mazel tov, you have a check in the hand. And whoever would go in through the gate of the door for the mourners, so there were two types of people. There were mourners and there were people who were excommunicated. So the minhag used to be that mourners would we don't do this nowadays, but a person who if he's in a velus, so he covers his head and up all the way down to the even including the mustache. He just like leaves his, he puts something over his face. It's called ituf. It's brought in the Gemara. Ituf, and he just leaves over his mouth. I don't know, maybe they poked holes for the eyes. I don't know exactly how it worked, but so they do ituf. If a person goes through the gate of the mourners, and his mustache was covered, and they would know that he is in mourning, and they would say to him, he who dwells in this house, he shall console you. Shaila about if you're allowed to be Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. Okay, because we're talking about this, we said that they would do this on Shabbos. Okay. And a person who would come into the gate of the mourners and his mustache was not covered, his mustache was revealed, Then they would know that the reason why he's going through that gate is because he's excommunicated. He's in cherem, meaning that he probably did something bad, and they put him in cherem, and that's why, you know, you're not allowed to do business with him, and you're not allowed to like talk. You're not really allowed to talk to him or whatever. You're not allowed to be friendly. Let's say, well, you're they would say to him, Hashaychin Babayi says that Yinachamecha. The one, he who dwells in this house should console you. V'yitin b'lvavcha she'tishva l'chaveracha v'yikarvucha. And Hashem should put in your heart that you should listen to your friends and they should bring you closer. Meaning, you know, that you should do tshuva for whatever it is that you did wrong that they put you in cherem for. K'dei she'yetzu kol Yisrael yidei chayvosan b'gemilas chasonim. So that all the Jews would be able to be mekayim gemilas chasonim. So Shlomo HaMelech built these two doors, these two gates, two gates. The people in Cherem and the people of Elam were in one gate, and you could tell which one is which from the mustache, right? So Shlomo HaMelech built these two gates so that people will be able to properly be mekayim gemilas chasadim. Nowadays when the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, hiskinu shiyu chasanim avelim hoyuchim levate knesios levate midrashos. They were misakin that a chasan and a mourner should go to the Beis Knesses and should go to the Beis Medrash, to shul and to the Beis Medrash. Va'anshi amakim ruinas a chasan usmeichim imay. And the people from the city would come, the people from the place would come and see the chasan, and they would be happy with him. Ruinas a evel, and they would see the person who is a mourner. V'yeshin imay alas, they would sit with him on the land and you know, express their sorrow with him. The Marzu points out, we have a minig on, I haven't seen this in a very, very long time, Baruch Hashem, but there's a minig that when there's an Avel in the shul, so the Avel doesn't come to shul for Kabbalah Shabbos, he comes in right after Lecha Doidi, and they say Hamakim Inach, and he comes in, and while everyone's still turned around from Bayi B'Shalom, he comes in, and everyone says Hamakim Inach Eschem on Shabbos.
I just saw this last Shabbos in Ramat Hasharon, Rabbi Yaakov
Edelstein.
For some reason, he stopped. He walked from his place all the way to the front door. I don't know why. I was wondering what's going on. Why is the Rav walking? You know, everyone's turning and looking because an Avil came in.
Yeah. Open the door.
He said something to him, and he came back, and then we continued.
The whole shul didn't say it?
I don't know. I didn't say it.
You didn't have what happened.
I didn't notice until now.
Right.
But I didn't know that yeah. But it happened
before Shabbos. I haven't seen this in years. It's got to be like close to 10 years. I haven't seen this done. But when I was younger, I remember seeing it done.
Where did you see it done?
In America, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so common. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
But they invite the
Avil
to the
Kabbalah
Shabbos, right?
Right after Lechad Oidish. Right before Mizrach Shalem Shabbos.
Right. The first time I saw it was here in an American shul.
Oh, yeah?
In Beitar, yeah.
Interesting.
American shul in Beitar?
The A, Rabbi Stern.
Oh, the Stern.
American English.
It's interesting when we spoke about it in the Beis Hamikdash. So we said that there's three people. There's the chasan, the avil, and the guy who's in cherem. We're talking about shul. We just talked about the chasan and the avil. So Rav Chaim Falachi says, but the guy who's in cherem, he's not allowed to come to shul.
Interesting.
He's allowed to come to the Beis Hamikdash, but he's not allowed to come to shul. It's an interesting thing.
That's what cherem is. You're not allowed to daven with the tzibur.
Right. You're not allowed to be part of the tzibur. Right.
That's you can still go to the Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
That's chesed. That's punish chesed by Hashem that allow him.
And the last line, I don't want to mamish get into this, but the last line in the parak says, "Va'alehem hu omer," about them it says, "Baruch atah Hashem goyim lo sachar tayv legoyim lechasodim." Baruch atah Hashem who repays good reward to people who do chesed. So what's this talking about over here? So the Rav Chaim Falachi says it's not really a brach. It's more like, you know, when you see this happening, so you're more aware that, oh, that's Baruch Hashem that he's the one that takes care of people who do chesed. He gives them their reward. It's not a real brach. He says, for sure you don't make a brach with Shem B'Malchus. So it's not a real brach. Maisa, the Beis Hagadol says that no, it is a bracha. That it's a bracha that the avel, the person who's in mourning, says about the people that come to console him. You came to console me, so I give you a special bracha. You know, Hashem is going to give you schar for coming to console me. In different places in Shas, there's in Chazal and Tosafos and Yerushalmis, there's something called Birkas Avelim. We're not knowing to say what's called Birkas Avelim nowadays, and it's from one of these. It's an example of something that's called Brachas Shenishtaku, brachas that were forgotten, brachas that there used to be a minute to do, and we don't have it nowadays. Well, there's an interesting sefer called Brachas Shenishtaku that I have over here, all about different brachas that are mentioned in Chazal that we don't have those minhagim anymore. And one of these is Birkas Avelim. He has a whole parak about it, parak Yud Aleph in his sefer. Brachas Shenishtaku is printed by Masada Rav Kook. I got this from a friend of mine who just moved to America, so I got a very pretty good price for this. So in parak Yud Aleph in the sefer, he writes about what's called Birkas Avelim, and he brings different shitas and different sources, what exactly is Birkas Avelim, and he comes out that there's four types of Birkas Avelim. There's four examples of Birkas Avelim. One is going on Hashem, one is going on the Avel, one's going on the people that comes to visit the Avel, and one's going on Kal Yisrael as a whole. He says the first bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayei Meisim. That's the bracha that I guess an Avel would make on to Hashem when a person is nifter. The second one is the bracha of Menachem Avelim. Baruch Atah Hashem Menachem Avelim is talking about the Avel. The Hashem should be Menachem. Hashem should control him. The third bracha, he says, is the bracha that we're talking about over here in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that is going on the people that come to visit. Gemel Sachar Tov, the Gemel Chasadim, talking about the people that come to visit. Hashem should give them their reward. And the fourth bracha is Baruchat Hashem Eitzer HaMagefa, the one who stops the Magefa. He's talking about all of Klal Yisrael. Hashem should stop death from all of Klal Yisrael, and we should not have to experience these sufferings and all the other sufferings of the Beis HaMikdash and all these other things. That Hashem should bring us the good days and the Bias HaMashiach and Bina Beis HaMikdash Shem Heir V'Yameinu. Thank you guys for coming.